Thank you for tuning in to the Israel Podcast, Episode 3, Those Who Struggle with God. This episode is about how the State of Israel, the people of Israel, and this podcast got their name. This will actually require answering three separate questions. What did the name Israel originally mean? How did the ancient Jewish people and their homeland come to be known as Israel? And how and why was this particular name chosen for the modern state of Israel? Okay, let's get into it. The first non-biblical reference to the name Israel that we know of dates back at least 3,200 years to ancient Egypt. This first mention in the written record of the name Israel refers to an ethnic group, but is actually a hieroglyphic inscription. Dating from the 13th century BCE, the inscription on what is known as the Merneptah stele states simply, Israel is laid waste. Its seed is no more. The Merneptah stele, also known as the Israel stele, or the victory stele of Merneptah, is a carved inscription by an ancient Egyptian pharaoh that reigned between 1213 and 1203 BCE, and discovered by one Flinders Petrie in 1896 in the ancient Egyptian capital of Thebes. The stele is now housed in the Egyptian Museum in Cairo and represents the earliest textual reference to Israel and the only reference from ancient Egypt. As a result, some consider the stele to be Petrie's most famous discovery, an opinion with which Petrie himself shared. When the translation of the stele was completed, he is rumored to have remarked, "Won't the reverence be pleased?" The stele itself is a black granite slab, over 3 meters or 10 feet tall, and was carved in the 5th year of Merneptah of the 19th dynasty. In that year, 1208 BCE, a Libyan king invaded Egypt from the west. Merneptah achieved a great victory in the summer of that year, and the inscription commemorates this momentous event. The final lines, however, deal with a separate campaign in the east, where it seems that some of the Canaanite cities who were under Egyptian control had revolted. Here is the text. The princes are prostrate, saying, "Peace." Not one is raising his head among the 9 bows. Now that Tehenu has come to ruin, Hatti is pacified, the Canaan has been plundered into every sort of woe. Ashkelon has been overcome. Gezer has been captured. Yanoam is made non-existent. Israel is laid waste, and his seed is no more. The 9 bows is a general term the Egyptians used to refer to their enemies, which varied according to the time and circumstance. Ashkelon, Gezer, and Yanoam are given the determinative for a city, a throw stick plus 3 mountains. The hieroglyphs that refer to Israel instead employ the throw stick, the determinative for foreign, plus a sitting man and woman, the determinative for people, over 3 vertical lines, a plural marker. According to the Oxford History of Biblical World, this foreign people sign is typically used by the Egyptians to signify nomadic groups or peoples, without a fixed city-state home, and thus implying a semi-nomadic or rural status for Israel at that time. Traditionally, the Egyptians had concerned themselves only with cities, so the problem presented by Israel must have been something new, perhaps attacks on Egypt's other vassals in Canaan. In any case, spoiler alert, regardless of the pharaoh's claims to have crushed the people called Israel, it appears they did survive the Egyptian incursion into Canaan in the late 13th century BCE and would later evolve into the Kingdom of Israel during the first centuries of the first millennium BCE. But the name Israel goes way back more than 3,200 years. How did this tribe get that name? Well, based on the Bible itself, the ancient peoples of the Levant were generally named for their progenitors. For example, the smaller southern kingdom of Judah is named for Judah, the son of Jacob. But the biblical explanation for the name of Israel is a tad bit more complicated. The common ancestor of the Israelites was not a character named Israel, but Jacob. According to the biblical story, one night, Jacob was attacked by a celestial being. They wrestled all night, and in the morning, seeing he could not prevail, Jacob's assailant agreed to bless Jacob in return for a truce and gave him a new name. "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Genesis 32:28. And that's how Jacob was renamed Israel, after he battled with God and won. But why Israel? What does the name mean? Well, Israel is what they call a theophoric name, a name consisting of the name of a deity and a verb. These were very common in the ancient Near East, and many are still used today. Jeremiah, God exalts, Daniel, meaning God judges, Michael, Jonathan, etc., as well as many names based on Greek and Roman gods. While Israel is evidently a theophoric name, however, the biblical account of the name's origin is a little bit hard to accept. For one thing, the Bible's description of how the name was confirmed isn't really how theophoric names work. According to the etymology, based on the biblical story, Israel is a verb that describes Jacob's relationship with the deity El. But the verb and theophoric names in the ancient Near East, and in ancient Israel in particular, should describe an attribute of the deity, not of the person. So based on that rule, the verb Israel probably described the god El in some way. The problem is that it isn't always clear what that rare verb Israel means, and various scholars and translators do not always agree. The King James translation of the Bible, for example, interpreted it as "a prince hast thou power," or in other words, "rules like a prince." But the best answer is apparently that which the Hebrew Bible itself gives in the Genesis verse, which differs from the English in the King James Version. "Vayomer lo Yaakov ya'amerot shimcha, ki im Yisrael, ki sarita im Elohim ve'im anashim v'tuchal." "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed." Therefore, Israel means struggles or fights. And perhaps in the very, very ancient origins of the name, it wasn't Jacob that was doing the struggling. It was God. By that interpretation, perhaps Israel meant God shall fight. In any case, the name Israel stands in stark contrast to the meaning of the name Jacob, which means follower, and represents weakness and submission. And therefore, Jacob is no longer a submissive follower, but is now Israel, and is actively struggling with God. Anyway, with all due respect to the Pharaoh's efforts, the kingdom of Israel actually came to an end much later, in 722 BCE, when the Assyrian invaders lay waste to the kingdom. As a result, a large number of refugees fleeing the Assyrians moved from the powerful, advanced northern kingdom of Israel into the smaller, more backward kingdom of Judah in the foothills of Jerusalem. These refugees brought with them the legends, the myths, and the scrolls of their destroyed kingdom, which were then combined with those of Judah and were eventually molded into the Bible that we know today. The relations between ancient Israel and Judah are not always clear. They were probably of the same ethnicity and spoke a similar dialect. Over time, the Israelite texts were merged with the oral lore of the Judahite people, resulting in a combined history in what we know as the Bible or the Old Testament. In any case, whether you believe in the biblical records or not, at one point, after the fall of the Kingdom of Israel, the Israelites and Judahites became one people, and throughout history, their names came to be used interchangeably. These two identities, Israelite and Judahite, that were once discrete, became synonymous. The Bible usually uses Israel to mean the northern kingdom, but the name is also commonly used to refer to both Israel and Judah together, and less often to Judah alone. Jews in the diaspora refer to themselves as sons of Israel, Bnei Israel, the people of Israel, Am Israel, or the more common name, Yehudim, which simply means Jews, and is derived from the name of Judah, the southern kingdom. The land the Jews left behind, however, is almost always referred to as the land of Israel, Eretz Israel. Far less often, other names, including Judah, Yehuda, Zion, Zion, or the Holy Land, Eretz HaKodesh, are used. As for the modern state of Israel, its beginnings lie in the 19th century, when Zionism, the Jewish nationalist movement, took shape. Members of the movement usually referred to the hoped-for nation to be formed as the Jewish state. Well, actually, they usually use the German, der Judenstaat. During the British Mandate, Palestine's official name in Hebrew was Eretz Israel, the Land of Israel. That was the name that appeared in Hebrew, alongside Palestine in English and Arabic, on a local currency, stamps, and official documents. This lent the name Israel official status. On May 14th, 1948, a couple of days before the British rule over Palestine ended, the Jewish leadership in Palestine met in Tel Aviv. Presided over by David Ben-Gurion, who would become Israel's first prime minister, the small group decided that a Jewish state would be declared independent on the day the British left. Then the small band turned to discussing what to name the state. According to the only source for the proceedings, an article by Palestine Post writer Moshe Brilliant, published a year later, at first, the group actually wanted to go with the name Judah, the name of the ancient Jewish kingdom. But the name was rejected since most of Judah fell outside the borders of the state according to the United Nations partition plan for Palestine that was on the table at the time. The group then turned to discuss other possible names, including Zion and some others. When someone suggested Israel, a vote was held. The name Israel won by 7-3. As for who suggested the name, Brilliant says that it was Ben-Gurion himself. It is possible, however, that he got this detail wrong. Moshe Sharet, Israel's second prime minister, had been calling the future Jewish state the State of Israel in speeches at least since 1946, while Ben-Gurion was using Medinat HaYehudim, the State of the Jews. So it seems plausible that it was Sharet, not Ben-Gurion, that was the one that suggested the name. In 1965, Ben-Gurion was asked who suggested the name, and he simply replied that he did not remember. Neither Ben-Gurion nor Charette were first to call the nation the State of Israel, Medinat Israel. That honor actually belongs to a rather obscure Jewish writer named Isaac Pernhoff, who in response to Herzl's utopian outline of the Jewish state, Alt Neuland, published his own alternative view. In a short article in 1896, Pernhoff predicted that a Jewish state in Palestine would be called Medinat Israel, the State of Israel. And he turned out to be right. And lastly, I want to go into why I chose the name Israel for the podcast. After reading The History of a Jewish Military Man by Dubnov, the subject of this podcast's first episode, I decided I wanted to bring together interesting stories of the men and women from Jewish history, the ones that stood up and struggled with God and helped mold the Jewish diaspora of generations past into the modern-day State of Israel, Medinat Israel, and the people of Israel, Am Israel. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Thanks for listening and checking out the Israel podcast. I hope you tune in next time for another episode.